Welcome back to State of Belief Radio. I'm Paul Rauschenbusch. My guest is Professor Najiba Seed. I want to ask you, what gives you hope? Like, what gives you hope right now?
Honestly, Gen Z gives me a lot of hope. My 14-year-old daughter was like, you know, we figured this all out. She says something like, we figured this all out. When are you guys? I was like, you're right. And kind of to also talk about her, you know, I asked her, where do you want to go to college? And she said, England. And I said, oh, that's really fascinating. What made England come to mind? And she said, well, mommy, you know, they don't have guns. This was a year ago. And it struck me that this child who has led a pretty protected life in terms of just her reality, that for her at her age, gun violence is in schools is a reality. So it's going to, in her mind, influence where she wants to go to college. And that really hit me. That really hit home for me. So Gen Z, to me, what gives me hope is that I do think that while a lot of us are nervous about institutions that seem to be dealing with issues of stability, continuity, that there are shakeups in history that open the doors for renewal and capacity for creating models that didn't exist before. So I know that, you know, maybe because I do conflict resolution, that I know some of the most beautiful things come out of moments in history where people did question, where people did interrogate, where people did think about, you know, we talk about the power of the status quo, where the status quo was considered. And, you know, we do things the way we do them because we've always done them that way. That's really how we operate as human beings. And so what gives me hope is, you know, reimagining the ways in which institutions and particularly structures that govern can build opportunities for compassion. And we have more people at the table now than have ever been able to be at the table. Many more people need to be at the table, and it's going to take time, and not everyone's here yet. And some people still aren't at the table, but there's a lot of people that have been really good at building their own tables and are now at, you know, we're building that table together. So that gives me a lot of hope, because I do think that in the end, you know, Prophet Muhammad's mission on earth was to be rahmatan lil alamin, to be a source of compassion to all beings. And I think that's part of prophetic leadership, is understanding there'll never be perfection. Not everyone will get it. It won't always be happy. I mean, think about Prophet Isa or Jesus in our tradition, we consider him a prophet. Think about Moses. You know, the story that I loved, there are two stories that, and we can probably end with this, two stories. One of them is the story of Noah, who's also in the Quran, Prophet Noah. And I just think about this man, and the Quran tells us didn't have money. He didn't have political or connections. He's going around, it's dry, and he's knocking on everyone's door, telling them, hey guys, build a boat, you know? Imagine the tenacity that must have taken.
Oh my God.
To like go door to door and say, guess what? There's this flood coming. I'm telling you, listen to me. And it wasn't really about, in the end, it's about that process. And that is what I think we sometimes miss in this kinds of prophetic leadership. It's that process of this man going door to door.
Gen Z is building a boat. Gen Z is building.
We could be building a boat together. I think it was so, yeah, this is just generally to me, just this idea of prophetic leadership. Like, it's not meant to be easy. And if, you know, like, it's okay if it's not easy every day. You know, yeah. I was saying how Dr. King was one of the most hated figures in our society at his death.
Right, right.
And the other story that's really beautiful for me, and I shared this past weekend, was Sulaiman, or in our tradition, Sulaiman is Solomon the prophet. He had this gift of listening to animals. He could understand them. And I often think, I was like, oh, that's not a gift I'm sure I would want, because imagine all the bad feedback you'd be getting from what we're doing to the earth right now. And there's this beautiful story in the Quran of there's an ant, and she hears the army of Solomon coming. And she cries out to her people and to her people ants, I guess, to the other ants. And Solomon, when he hears her, he changes the direction of his army to avoid harming these ants. So first of all, there's a beautiful lesson of no harm. But what was interesting is when I was thinking about that story when I was younger was that it was the voice of one person will change the course of an army. That was like how I read it. But now at this stage in life, having done the work that I've done, I think about actually it's Solomon's capacity to listen to this ant and take action. So really the transformational power of listening and the
and especially ability, listening to a voice that you could easily disregard.
Exactly.
You had the power to disregard exactly. And yet recognize that that's a power. Exactly. That's the voice I especially need to listen to.
Exactly.
That's, wow.
Who is the answer?
I love that.
Yeah. Marcy Oroyo. Yeah. She's a Methodist Christian scholar, African scholar, and she really talks about the fact that no one is voiceless. It's, are we listening?
Right.
So
right.
Everyone has a voice. And, you know, like I was thinking about, there's this beautiful story of that I heard about Muhammad Ali in an airport. And he got down to the level of a young 6-year-old child to listen to their story. Because he's this big, you know, I don't know how tall he was, but he was this powerful man. Are we like building the systems that listen? Are we building our faith communities even in ways that listen? Because a lot of times this kind of work doesn't need to even happen outside of our own homes and our own communities. We don't have to go very far to hear the voice of that aunt, the person in the back of the room, the person who couldn't make it to the mosque that day because they didn't have transportation. You know, what does hospitality look like when it means that you're listening to and making the effort? So combining hospitality with going out of one's way, our normal way, our everyday way, so that your norm becomes a much more inclusive norm.
Right. Well, and I'm thinking about the it was of no benefit to Suleiman's army to go the other way. But they decided, you know, when you talk about like, what will you do that doesn't even benefit yourself? So Najib Asid is the inaugural El Hibre Endowed Chair and Executive Director of Interfaith at Augsburg University in Minneapolis. She has been a professor, expert practitioner, and public speaker for the last 2 decades in the field of conflict resolution, interfaith studies, mediation, education, deliberative democracy, social, gender, and racial equity. Dr. Najib Asid, thank you so much for joining me on State of Belief Radio. I really appreciated talking to you.
Thank you. This was really fun.
And with that, I'm afraid that's all the time we have for this week's show. We need your help keeping this show on the air. I hope you'll consider being a partner in this crucial work by making a financial contribution today. Information on how to donate is available at stateofbelief.com. That's stateofbelief.com. And you can also be part of making sure informative and encouraging voices are heard by sharing this program with family and friends. Let's get more people listening and more people taking part in these conversations, both on and off the air. Never miss an episode by subscribing to the weekly State of Belief podcast on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast platform. And join the conversation. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at State of Belief and share State of Belief with the people in your life. State of Belief is produced by Ray Kirstein and is a production of Interfaith Alliance. Become a member today at interfaithalliance.org. And be sure to join us next week. I can't wait. Until then, I'm Paul Rauschenbusch on State of Belief, where religion and democracy meet.